You know, it's one thing for you to hear something, like Jordan said, hear something and listen to something are two different things. I believe my grandmother when she told me 30 years ago the United Nations was creeping in on America and they're going to create death panels for old people and blah, 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 blah. I believed her, but, you know, and you know it at some level, but as time goes on, you research, you don't even, and you know it deeper, and you know it deeper. And to hear Jordan talk about this in such a matter-of-fact, obvious way, one, it's inspiring, and I hope you feel inspired. It's disconcerting, for sure, and it should be, I think, something must knock us off the course that we're headed. You know, we are in a raft. There is rapids ahead and then followed by a very large waterfall that we won't get out of or that we won't come back from. And we got to turn around somewhere, either now or before the rapids or what have you. And something must shake us from our position. Something must within us, must rise within us. And this divinity that we've been talking about, who we are, all these things, these are the key moments of your whole life, ladies and gentlemen, right now. And we're talking to Jordan Maxwell. JordanMaxwellShow.com is the website. You were talking about having people break in talking to you. I don't want to get you shut off or anything today, but let's pick up what you were talking about. I think this was before 9/11, so you can probably talk about it now safely because the towers already went down. They already did their deed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've said this, I think, to you before. If I haven't, it bears witness to say it again, that if you have somebody come on, like, for instance, a Henry Kissinger or somebody who is well known in the public eye for being on the inside and everybody knows it, and if he were to come on your show and really tell you the truth, who he really is, where he's actually come from, and what he was connected to before he got to America, and why he was put into the position he has in America because of a particular secret criminal society in Europe that he was ahead of, and that's why he's at Mr. Important today. And he tells you all of these things. He gives you the names and the connections that, of what he's connected to, who he's representing, and then begins to tell you what he's going to do and what this organization is going to do in America. And here's the way we're going to do it, and there's nothing you're going to do to stop us, and here's what we're going to do, and here's the way we're going to do it. That would make one hell of an incredible, dynamic radio show to have somebody at that high up talking like that in public and telling you the real truth of who he really is and where he actually came from and what he's actually involved in that you didn't know nothing about. Well, that would make great radio, but 2 weeks later, people will have forgotten all about that because there are more important things to think about, you know, like football and basketball. So people will have forgotten. It was a really brilliant discussion. It was really interesting and compelling and all that. But, you know, all of us go back to work. We all got to go pay our bills. So we go back to work, and then eventually, a couple of weeks, a month later, we all forgot about it, and we're back to where we always were. Down here at the bottom. And so, but him, he would be in mortal trouble. He would be in incredible trouble. You have no idea what trouble is. So you've been on the inside like him and then spill the beans in front of the whole public of America and the world listening. You know, he would be a dead man walking. And I mean, the powers that be are going to deal with him like you have no idea how bad they're going to come down on him. You think the mob is bad and the Sopranos pictures are bad? You know, wait till you mess with the real powers that run this country. You have no idea in the world how evil they are and what they will do to you if you open your mouth and start talking. If you're really impressive and people know that you're on the inside and you start telling them the real truth, they'll kill you. They'll kill your family and make you wish you'd have never been born. And so that's why
Let me back up just a second. Your interactions, you know, what you said a moment ago or before the break and now, your interactions with some of these people who come to you and say, you know, we know who you are, Jordan, what have you, is there a sense that they're maybe sympathetic towards your cause? They're sympathetic to what you're doing, although they feel like they're in a position where they can't do anything?
Well, both. I think some of them, it depends, because remember, these are just people. These are men like men, and these are women like a woman. So these are just people. But some of these people have risen to very high places in world government, in the U.S. government, in international banking. And they're just people. And if you happen to meet them at a party or some kind of a social gathering, And they're out in the porch having a drink, and you happen to be out there, and you happen to go up and introduce yourself, and a conversation ensues, and they don't see you as a great enemy. They just see you as an interesting guy who's talking about some interesting stuff. And before you know it, you're talking with them for a half hour, 45 minutes, and chit-chatting with them. And in the conversation, they tell you certain things. I mean, you'd be surprised what you can learn from people if you just listen. And so, but I am a researcher. I've trained myself to listen, and that's what I do. I remember things. I write them down. I carry a little a tape recorder, a small little tiny hand tape recorder, and anything that's important that I feel is important, I quickly write it down or talk about it and put it in my recorder. And so after a while, over the years, I have heard some incredible stories from some powerful people, but I'm not about to put them in jeopardy. If the gods themselves, that the powers that be today, heard that I was in that person's company and he told me this and he told me that, you know, they and their family would be, you know, in serious trouble. And I'm not going to do that to anyone, including myself. So I just try the best I can to be an educator and try and tell people what's going on without using names and without exposing the people I talk to harm's way. Because believe me, in this world, if you know something you're not supposed to know, and you found out something you were not supposed to find out, and you go out and start talking about it in public, they're going to find your body in a trash can somewhere. And you're going to have five different bullet holes in the back of your head where you committed suicide. So I know, you know, what I... No, that's true. You know, there's like five bullet holes in your head.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's not funny, but, I mean, I laugh because I keep from crying. You know, it's one thing to read, especially Christian. Most of the people who listen would call themselves Christians in one form or another. But you read about in the Bible, you know, some people think it's fairy tales. The devil, demons, Satan, Lucifer, what have you. It's one thing to read it in the Bible, and it becomes a story, and it becomes separated from you. You are, without question, not in my mind, most people's mind, you are the number one secular researcher for cult, religious type things, and many other things also, but certainly the number one in the world, at least the last 50, 60 years. You see it in a totally different way, where it's outside the Bible, where it's like right in front of you. And when you reveal this, and when you bring this down to this level, to me, talking to you, you know, I'm privileged. I'm allowed to talk to you off the air, and we talk about certain things. When you show me these things, or just you talking about them, and the reality starts to hit you, and right in front of you, it's like, my God, this is, you know, there's a devil, and then it's like, yeah, I believe in the God, the devil. Then it's like, wow, there's a devil, God Almighty, jeez,
yeah. So when you finally wake up and you finally see it for the first time, you say things like, "Oh, it just dawned on me," what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It just dawned on you. Well, the only thing that dawns is the sun. The sun dawns. And so it's the dawn of the sun. And the sun represents the light of the world. Without the sun, there is no light. So if for some reason God, let's say, shuts the sun off immediately, well, you're not going to know the sun was shut off for at least 8 minutes, because it takes 8 minutes for the light of the sun to reach the earth. And so for 8 minutes, you will not know the sun has been shut off. But at the end of the 8 minutes, the whole sky goes black. And at that point, there is no sun, no energy coming to the earth. So you can figure, in 3 weeks, we're going to be dead. We've got electricity, we've got nuclear power, but in 3 weeks, this earth is going to be frozen over, period. It's over. Our life is finished. No more plants, no more animals, no more planting food, no sun, nothing. You're dead. The whole of civilization. So, my point being is that I would love to be able to talk freely, but I cannot. And I'm not trying to promote myself, because I always say, and I've always said, I am not the world's foremost authority on nothing. On nothing. But what I bring to the table are the people that I have been blessed to meet. I've been allowed to somehow or another be in the company of extraordinary people who know extraordinary things that the world does not know. And for some reason, God has allowed me, like that movie, Forrest Gump. Well, Forrest Gump ends up in the company of presidents and kings and rulers and bankers, etc. And he's just a dumb goofball, but he happens to be there and talking to them. And so he's forgot more than you're ever going to know. And how did he get there? Nobody knows how he got there. Nobody. And so that's the same thing with me. I've been able to be in the company of some extraordinarily powerful people that it was actually kind of frightening to me. And what I was thinking that was frightening to me is that these people who are talking to me ever found out who I really am, and I'm a nobody, and I sleep on the floor in one room in a dirty little office in Los Angeles with nothing, and I live on Social Security. I think they'd have me whacked, and so I try and be polite.
Hold that. During the break, I know if you're listening, you hate when I say this, but during the break, some of the conversation is more interesting than the interview. But Jordan made the comment about, he said, I feel a little like Nikola Tesla kind of talking to an electrician, where the electrician would be like, oh, yeah, I understand electricity. And Nikola Tesla, well, I'm not going to say what Jordan said, but Nikola Tesla would say, no, you don't understand anything, son. You don't understand. You understand how to turn a light bulb in. That's about it. You don't understand about frequency and the world and the resonance and the way things really work. And that's kind of the quest Jordan's been on. And in some ways, I'm sure it's been a lonely quest. In some ways, it's been exhilarating. It's been, you know, you're on a razor's edge. And you are that barrier, or that you're on that wall between the edge of the seen and the unseen on civilization. And you're trying to create a view or punch a hole and punch little holes in the wall so that people maybe can see the little light come through. And it's had to have been frustrating and had to have been exhilarating all at the same time. I'm going to ask you a point blank question, because this discussion and it's like this is all, people have resigned themselves to the fate of mankind, and I don't feel that way. I don't like feeling that way. Hopefully I will never feel that way, whether it's true or not. I don't want to feel that way. I choose not to. Who are we in relation to all this? What are we doing here, and who are we?
Well, I remember a professor, a wonderful, brilliant man, way back in the early 60s, 61, 62. I listened to about 6 hours over a period of a couple of days to a lecture he gave about the world we live in. And it was startling. It was an incredibly insightful discussion about the world today and where we are and where we're going. And boy, everything he said was exactly correct. But the one thing he emphasized at the beginning that I remember so clearly is he said, you need to define your terms. When you use terms in front of an audience and you're trying to express yourself as to what you're trying to say, you need to explain to the audience the use of those terms that you're using. So, for instance, if you want to talk about love, well, what are you talking about, love? Well, explain it to the audience. In my view, according to my understanding, here's the way I'm viewing love. Yes, that's true. There's four different Greek words for the word love. One is a love between a man and a woman, sexual, sensual love. That's one kind of love. Then there's another love for you and your love for your mother and your father and your brother and your family. And that's a very, very powerful love for your family. But that's a different kind of love. And then there's a general love of humanity or a general love for the animal world and just a general love for for your fellow man. That's a different kind of love. And so he said, so define your terms because, well, when you use a term, maybe there's 100 people hearing you. There's 100 different views of what that word means. So when I use the word God, I don't have a problem with saying publicly that I totally believe in the concept, in the idea, in the belief system that tells us about God. Now, what is God? Oh, that's different. Now, if you want to get down to definitively stating what God is, well, that's good. Like my professor said, define your terms. So I say to Christians and to Arabs and everybody else, when you talk about God, what are you talking about? What is your idea? What you think you're talking about? Because it may not be what I'm thinking. And so I'm not understanding what you're saying because you're looking at God from your viewpoint. But I don't buy it at all what you see. Why? Because I know better. I've studied the subject of theology for some 60 years. And I know what these words and terms and where they came from. And I know how they go back into the ancient and prehistoric world. So when you talk about God, do your homework. Explain to me what you're talking about when you talk about God. Because I'm not buying the idea of an understanding of God as it's understood today. Then when you start going back into I learned it in my church. Well, where did your church begin? And then you start going back into where did the word church come from? Well, it just means a bunch of people going to a building to recognize and worship God. What does the word worship come from? Why did he have a ship in there? Like a dealership and scholarship. So it's just a lot of things people don't know about.
But let me, there's the music. World. I knew I shouldn't have asked that question to you with 5 minutes left in the segment. I'm going to phrase it. On the other side, let's change the conversation a little bit, and we'll see where it goes. Jordan Maxwell, jordanmaxwellshow.com. Stay tuned, everybody. Getting back to Jordan, I'm going to put this in a discussion in a little different light because, I mean, yeah, it's too broad a question. One of the things that shocked you the most out of all your research, I heard you say, was when you realized that the United States government was not the republic anymore at all, that it was actually a corporate structure, that it was a corporate USA.
Yes.
I'm of the belief, and this will all fit together, we talk about this a lot on the show, and I kind of want to get your feedback. I'm of the belief that this satanic system, whatever it is, the fingerprints of control, they're trying to take our consciousness, take our will, whatever that is, that they are not all powerful, they do not have all control here, it's not a fait accompli, and they need our agreement to make it happen. That the real power lies and is vested within us, our divinity, and for whatever reason, they need our agreement of this slavery to bring about the slavery. I believe that.
Yes.
Comment.
I totally agree with that, 100%. The powers that be in this world they know that we were created with a freedom in our blood, in the blood of humanity. They make a movie about a lion called Born Free, but they don't ever make a movie about human beings born free, because the powers that be in this world, the dark and the evil powers of, corrupt. We've heard the term power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the absolute powerful people in the world, they're not interested to entertain this idea of freedom. Freedom and liberty and justice, they're not interested in freedom. They'll kill you. Chicago was not interested in freedom. He's interested in promoting himself and his organization. And if you get in the way, you're a dead man walking. And so the people in Europe, the kings and queens and the royalty of Europe, they were as dark and evil as people are even capable of being. And that's why the people of Europe, the good people of Europe, wanted to flee that country, flee that whole area of the world and come to a different land and set up a different kind of government. And once you understand how the government operated back then, and we've talked about that before, and why they came to America, and why America was founded in 1776, and on 4th of July, there's a very good reason for that particular date and that particular year. It was very important to some very highly intelligent people, our founding fathers. They knew that there had to be a revolution in the world. We couldn't go on crawling on our knees till these crossbreed, animalistic, goofball, and mentally insane people who call themselves royalty and the Prince Charles and Prince Edward and Prince this and Prince that. The people of Europe realized these people are inbreds. They're mentally deranged. They're murderers. They're rapists. They have human sacrifices. We got to get the hell out of here. We got to get out of this whole area of the world, because these people are crazy, and they're killing each other, and there's wars going on between families, and the families are all a bunch of half-breeds, and their bloodlines are crazy. So they came to the United States to start a new life, to get away from all that crap. And some of the original newspapers, I still have them, and I can send them to you. The newspapers and magazine articles back in the 1800s, 17 especially, going toward 1800, newspapers and magazines were talking about how America was to be the new Saturnian power on the earth. We were to represent the planet Saturn on the earth, the Lord of the Rings. And that's what the magazines and newspapers were talking about. And then there was official documents from the U.S. government, which I could send you a whole mess of them, and you read them yourself. And they're talking about America is going to be the new Saturnian power in this world. It's going to represent the planet Saturn. Saturn is going to be the new god of the new order that's coming in the world, where mankind will be free and there'll be plenty of food and happiness for the human family. And Saturn will be our god for the new American Federation. And so Saturn is today a very powerful god in America today. But happily, most people have never read anything about it. They don't know anything about it. And it's absolutely don't give it. They don't care about it. It's not important, because they don't understand it anyway, even if they did read it. So I'm just saying, you better go back and look at what the founding fathers were talking about when they founded this country, as opposed to the Saturnian influence of the founding of the United States with the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what is this July 4th all about? And where does this whole idea of a new American Federation coming from? There is so much to do with our founding and our country today that will frighten you once you understand the implications of who the founding fathers of this country were, what they're talking about among themselves, and they're using the term Illuminati and the secret societies that they knew were operating in Europe, and they knew about the corrupt and bloodlines of so-called royalty. And royalty will tell you to even today that they have a divine right to rule. Divine implies God has given them the divine right. Well, how did they get this divine right from this God that they're talking about? Well, it's the Pope. The Pope represents God. He's the Papa. And he's God the Father. And so we call him a Holy Father. And so he represents God. So therefore he's God Father. And then when you begin to look at the Godfather and now find out, no, we're talking about the mob. We're talking about a very powerful secret society of murderers, buying and selling children, buying and selling and promoting pornography and drug abuse and alcoholism and wars and violence. You better wake up and find out what the name of the tune is for your country and where you've been, where you are now, and need to wake up and find out where you're going. Because what's going on out there today, how, you are not going to believe it.
How unique, obviously Thomas Jefferson is the main writer, how unique in the history of the world from all your study is the Declaration of Independence, you know, that declaration that we're divinely created with unalienable rights. How unique is that and how important is it?
Yeah, it's the most important thing that's ever been written on this earth was the Declaration of Independence. And incidentally, my mother used to tell me all about the fact that one of the most famous signers of the Declaration of Independence was her ancestor. And she used to tell me all about her ancestor who signed the Declaration of Independence. So I have in my bloodline from my mother's side one of the main men who signed the Declaration of Independence. And also, he was also one of the main men, if not the main man, to finance George Washington and the Continental Army and the Continental forces to stand up against England. We didn't have the money. But there was one man who was understood to be, in history, understood to be the wealthiest man in the 13 colonies. This man was mega wealthy, period. And he understood what was going on with Europe and with the mentally deranged criminals. They call themselves the royalty, so that they can ride in gold chariots and flip their cigarette butts on you and your children because they're royalty. Why? Because the Pope said so. And then you find out, no, there's something else going on here we need to wake up to.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. One last segment, unfortunately, with Jordan Maxwell. It's the end of the week. So good to be with you. One more important segment with Jordan Maxwell. JordanMaxwellShow.com is the website. PowerHour.com is our website. What else is more important, ladies and gentlemen, than who you are? And we'll have this interview up in there, too, on thepowerhour.com. Jordan, we're talking about the Declaration of Independence, the uniqueness, the importance of this. Something's different about America. America became set apart. Nowhere in the world's history, really, did we have the freedom, prosperity, opportunity that came here. I'm going to make a statement that I've said many times. I just want to get your reaction to it. We talk about these political stories, and we get into the minutia, they get boring. I mean, anything from your dog catcher writing you a ticket to the government to the corporate, whatever. All of these things come down to who are you. That system wants to characterize you as a human, which is legally a beast, a monster, to make you a beast, that they feel like they are over you and can basically herd you as they wish. The Declaration of Independence characterizes us as divinely created, endowed beings with unalienable rights. Everything in this world, politically, certainly, and more, comes down to those two choices. Was that too dramatic?
That is precisely right. That's exactly correct. That we are, in point of fact, in America, no longer are we, how would I say, officially, designated, if you're an American or if you're a U.S. citizen, you are not officially a man or a woman. because man or woman, officially, the way it is accepted around the world in international circles of government, a man is referred to as masculine. A woman is feminine. And so on your identification, your driver's license or your identification, you are male or female. There is a booklet that's put out by the U.S. government, and I think also in England, it's called the Styles Magazine or the Styles Booklet. Styles. And what that means is it's a big booklet on all the words that the government uses in courts, federal courts and state courts and federal jurisdiction, the words that the government uses and what those words imply in government. They're totally different out there on the street when you use them. But when the government uses this term, here's what it actually means. And so if you're going to be officiating at a federal trials and going before the federal government to argue a case, you better go back and check the Styles magazine, son. You better go back and check the words you're going to use in that federal court and before the Supreme Court does not mean what you think it means. You better go back and look at the word man, woman, child, and see what that word actually means under international law and under American federal law, what that word means. And then you can find out none of it means the same thing that you thought it did. So that's why when you go into court, you need to keep your mouth shut and have somebody speak for you. And so the reason why is because you're hoping that the attorney who is representing you, he understands what the words mean. You get in there and you go into prison for 30 years. Why? Because of some stupid thing you thought you understood and you said to the judge, and now you find out that doesn't mean what it means on the street. And you just agreed that you were guilty to something. Why? Because you shoot your mouth off and you don't know what you're talking about. So you better let an attorney talk for you. So when you understand these words are important, and that's why we on our driver's license and on our insurance papers and all of our insurance and all of our all of our official ID, we are either male or female. Not masculine or feminine. And go back to the Styles magazine published by the U.S. government. It will tell you the term male and female applies only to an animal. Only animals are male and female. Man and woman is masculine, feminine. But it will tell you that a U.S. citizen is not considered to be a man or woman. You're not considered to be a man or woman. You are an animal, male or female. And that's why...
Last question, Jordan. Last question I have to ask you. We only have about 3 or 4 minutes. I didn't mean to cut you off, but let me get this question in and weave it in however you want.
Uh-huh.
What is your outlook for this? Do we have any chance to restore that ethic? Where are the churches on this? Where is the ethic of who we are to be able to stand on our own 2 feet with this endowment? Where is it?
Well... Unfortunately, that's a big, big question. It's going to take more than 3 minutes to answer. But I would say...
You got three, Jordan.
Okay. The biggest problem we face in this country, and to save the American system and to save our beloved country, no country has ever lasted, I can't remember what the professor said, but a long time ago it was brought out that no country that's called a democracy has ever lasted more than a couple, whatever it was, 100 years, 150 years, whatever it was. I have to go back and check that. But no country that is a democracy has ever lasted, because democracy basically means rule of the masses, a rule of the people. And so democracy in its actual form, actual government, is 46 cowboys voting to hang one guy. And so when you get a mass, you get a gang together, there's 50 guys, and they've all decided to hang one of them, that's a democracy. The people have spoken. 50 people agreed to kill you or to kill your family and hang you. Well, that's a democracy, and there's nothing you can do about it. But in the way that America was set up, there were laws governing everything. That's why in the old Wild West days, you'd see cowboys riding to town with guns on their hips. And they could go in the bar with guns, and they carried guns. Why? Because that's the way America was founded. You need to understand how this country was founded, what the words mean, and what's the difference between a lawyer and an attorney. An attorney is different from a lawyer. And therefore, when you go into court, are you going to have a court? Are you going to have a trial by jury? Or a jury trial doesn't mean the same thing. You better go back and look at it. So when they talk about, well, we're going to have a trial by jury. Well, I don't want one. I want a jury trial, not a trial by jury. Well, it doesn't mean the same thing. So I'm just saying you need to wake up and realize that the words that are familiar to you are not the way the government looks at it. And you are not considered a man or a woman. You're just an animal.
30 seconds, Jordan. Jordan, 30 seconds. What's the most important thing we can do right now for our freedom?
Is wake up and understand you don't know what's going on and listen to the people who are trying to teach you something, and that's me. So go to my website, George Michael Show, and find my research society, and you'll wake up.
Perfect, perfect. It's been such a pleasure, my friend. God bless you. Everybody's listening. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope this doesn't depress you. I hope it stirs you, but not depress you, because it should enliven you, because you were born with power. That's why this show is the Power Hour, right? You have the power, ladies and gentlemen, and the future will be up to you. I promise you.